Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Christian Science Monitor, read by Melissa Bonnet. This is being recorded on November 13th, 2024. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. In Lebanon, Hezbollah pays high political cost for its war with Israel. A British culture warrior, Kemi Badonok, sets conservatives on populist path. Classified military documents leaker Jack Teixeira, sentenced to 15 years in prison. Abandoned, quote, ghost gear, end quote, kills sea life. A Myanmar nonprofit is turning the tide and following up with miscellaneous articles. We start with, in Lebanon, Hezbollah pays high political cost for its war with Israel. Written by Scott Peterson, who is a staff writer in Derbila and Beirut, Lebanon. Usually far from the war's front lines, the Christian residents of this quiet mountain town in northern Lebanon are still traumatized by the October 12 blast that turned their homes to rubble in a tiny Shiite enclave in their midst. The targeted Israeli strike, which reportedly killed three people, shook the hillside like an earthquake and produced a cloud of shredded bits of $100 bills that witnesses suggest may have been a Hezbollah stash of cash. The incident, which deepened Lebanon's sectarian divide, underscored the increasingly high political cost paid by Iran-backed Hezbollah for its destructive war with Israel. Hezbollah has wielded immense power in Lebanon for decades, but it has been substantially weakened by a string of shocks from Israel, ranging from exploding pagers that wounded thousands of its operatives, to airstrikes that killed 20 of its top leaders and commanders. Thousands of airstrikes have targeted its missile arsenal and even its banking system, and a ground incursion has revealed networks of tunnels near Israel's border. As a result, swaths of territory have been demolished, afflicting every Lebanese sect. Quote, there is a rising tide of anger against Hezbollah among Shias, but also amongst the broader Lebanese social fabric, says Maha Yaha, director of the Carnegie Middle East Center in Beirut. Quote, there is a lot of tension on the ground today, and the prospect of civil strife is quite high, end quote. Quote, we have nothing to do with this war, end quote. In Derbila, the day after the strike, local Shiites swept debris off the road beside a small mosque. Roofs and walls of two homes across the narrow street were obliterated, their interiors exposed. Two men, including a Hezbollah civil defense worker, hung a Lebanese flag atop the rubble and retrieved a prayer rug with an image of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Traced in the powdery dust on the hood of a damaged car are the words in Arabic, quote, we are here for you, Nasrallah, end quote, in reference to the Hezbollah chief assassinated by Israel in a series of explosions in Beirut in September. Among the 1.3 million people displaced from Hezbollah strongholds in the south and east of the country, some Shiites have recently found their way to this community, making residents wary. Quote, we are a peaceful village, but when strangers come, refugees, we don't know them. Then trouble starts, says Tony, a Christian, whose family home sits a few hundred yards away from the two targeted buildings. Quote, we have nothing to do with this war, dot, 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 so this was a shock to us, end quote. He declined to give his family name. Quote, trust me, before this happened, we were friends, says Tony, speaking of his targeted Shiite neighbors. Quote, there was nothing bad about the Shiite people who lived there for years, for 100 years. We are talking about the newcomers, end quote. Yet some residents voiced concern over what they say have been Hezbollah's long-term aims in their community. Quote, our friends, they don't show it, but they support Hezbollah in their hearts, says another Christian who gives the name Samir. Quote, for a long time, Hezbollah is supporting them financially to make a base for them here, maybe to take over the area. We believe they had weapons here a while ago, he adds. Quote, my concern is why they have guns in our areas. It's far away from Israel and the border. It's against us, Christians. Those weapons give power over us. End quote. Hezbollah's unique status. In years past, Hezbollah enjoyed widespread popular support in Lebanon, often well beyond its Shiite base, for its self-declared role as the armed defender of Lebanese sovereignty. But in the past two decades, periodic resentment of the group has sharpened into more widespread hatred, owing to an increasing number of events linked to Hezbollah, even before this hugely destructive war, which many Lebanese see as unnecessary. Those include the 2005 assassination of popular Sunni Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, a costly all-out war with Israel in 2006, the use of force against political opponents and rival sects, and the massive 2020 Beirut port explosion, which killed more than 200 people and left hundreds of thousands homeless. Hezbollah operatives also helped violently suppress the anti-corruption, anti-sectarian protests of the October 2019 revolution. For Lebanese, exhausted by chronic state failures and economic collapse, Hezbollah's unique status as a heavily armed state within a state is increasingly a key part of the problem, not of the solution. Some now see the first chance in years of changing Lebanon's internal political equation. Quote, what is visible to me is that other political parties in Lebanon are trying to capitalize on this, seeing this as an opportunity not only to undermine Hezbollah, but also to reassert their position within the political system, says Carnegie's Ms. Yahya. The party, quote, still has 13 members of parliament, so the political framework, the political scaffolding, is still there, end quote. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sought to deepen divisions on October 8th, warning Lebanese in a videotaped message to sideline Hezbollah or risk civil war. Quote, Christians, Druze, Muslims, Sunni and Shia, all of you are suffering because of Hezbollah's futile war against Israel, he said. Quote, you have an opportunity to save Lebanon before it falls into the abyss of a long war that will lead to destruction and suffering like we see in Gaza, Mr. Netanyahu said. Quote, stand up and take your country back, end quote. Lebanon's political reckoning. While few Lebanese will heed any warning from the Israeli leader, it highlights the fragility of Hezbollah's position. Quote, Hezbollah is destroyed not as a faction, but as an idea, says Makram Rabah, an assistant professor of history and archaeology at the American University of Beirut. Quote, Hezbollah's super narrative is that they have the ability to defend Lebanon and defend the Shiites and ultimately liberate Palestine. None of these credos have been effective, end quote. As long as Hezbollah keeps firing at Israel, quote, They can still claim that they have the capacity to fight, he says. But Hezbollah has lost politically by forgetting its endurance requires grassroots support beyond the Shiite community. Quote, people who were hesitant to take them on believed for some time that these Hezbollah weapons could defend Lebanon, says Dr. Raba. Quote, now they have proved that they could not even defend themselves, end quote. Yet, while Hezbollah may be knocked off its pedestal, it continues to fire rockets and battle Israeli forces. More and more Lebanese, like the Christians of Deir Billa, for instance, and many disillusioned Shiites, say the Lebanese army should be made strong enough to deploy all the way to the southern border. Hezbollah, quote, are trying to simply play out the clock because they believe that they can win by points, says Dr. Raba. Quote, it's a David and Goliath thing. You don't really need to defeat Goliath. You just need to sidestep him until something happens, end quote. It is not clear what that, quote, something, end quote, may be, with U.S. President-elect Donald Trump likely to give Israel even more leeway than the Biden administration has to strike Hezbollah. But inside Lebanon, the political reckoning has begun. Quote, you have 1.3 million displaced people who will never go back unless Hezbollah disarms, says Dr. Raba. Quote, we won't give them money this time to turn our villages again into bunkers and into ammunition depots, end quote. A British culture warrior, Kemi Badenoch, sets conservatives on populist path. Written by Katie Marie Davies, who is a contributor in Manchester, England. Many politicians would shrink from the task that lies ahead of the United Kingdom's Conservative Party, bouncing back from a historic defeat in the country's July 2024 general election. But Kemi Badenoch, the Tories' newly elected leader, is unafraid of a fight. The first black woman to lead a major British political party, Ms. Badenoch is known for a straight-talking, no-nonsense approach that sometimes strays into the combative. Many conservatives hope that her energy, as well as her staunch, quote, anti-woke, end quote, platform, will rejuvenate the party's flagging political fortunes out of power for the first time in 14 years with a record low number of seats in Parliament. Yet others fear that her uncompromising, often Trumpian approach will pull the party further to the right, deepening divides and alienating the centrist voters whom the party hopes to recapture. A staunchly right-wing worldview. Ms. Badenoch was born in London, but grew up in an affluent family in the Nigerian city of Lagos. She lived there until she was 16, when her parents sent her to the UK to avoid the increasingly unstable political situation at home. As a teenager, Ms. Badenoch worked at McDonald's to fund her studies, which earned her a degree in computer systems engineering at the University of Sussex. Ms. Badenoch has described these experiences as the bedrock of her political worldview, one which is staunchly right-wing. In an interview with the Daily Mail, she described Nigeria as a country where she, quote, never felt safe, end quote, feeding her appreciation for order and security in the UK. The politician says her time at college, surrounded by those she described as, quote, stupid lefty white kids, end quote, also fed her conservative views. Quote, people often ask what made me a conservative, and there was no one thing, she told the Times of London in one interview. Quote, but part of it was being at Sussex among snotty, middle-class North Londoners. End quote. Today, Ms. Badenoch is well known for her vocal stance on what her supporters call, quote, culture war, end quote, causes. She has criticized the Black Lives Matter movement, opposed letting people self-identify as transgender, and said that, quote, not all cultures are equally valid, end quote, when it comes to deciding who should be allowed into the UK. Those positions have fired up hopes among Tories that Ms. Badenoch will win back voters who abandoned the Conservative Party in favor of the populist Reform UK, which enjoyed unprecedented success at the general election by running on an anti-immigration platform. Others believe that Ms. Badenoch's bluntness will also play well with voters who are tired of politicians trotting out vague platitudes. Quote, I think Ms. Badenoch is really good at getting her message across in a clear, coherent, and meaningful way, says Gareth Lyon, a Conservative local councillor in Rushmore in southern England, who voted for Ms. Badenoch in the party members' leadership vote. He says that since Ms. Badenoch's election, a surge of new members have joined his local party branch. Quote, she actually reminds me of Ronald Reagan, says Mr. Lyon. Quote, something about her is inspiring. Reagan was able to build a coalition not by pandering, not by trying to make everyone happy, but by starting from what he believed in. That's what I've seen in Kemi. End quote. This straight-talking approach could backfire. Quote, the, quote, culture war, end quote, issues that have earned Ms. Badenoch admiration from some voters are bound to alienate others. She is expected to take the party's policies firmly to the right, a move which could put off more moderate Conservative voters. But for now, it is a risk that the Conservative Party is willing to take. Overcoming, quote, immorality and incompetence, end quote. Much will depend on Ms. Badenoch's next steps. Her leadership bid did not reveal concrete policies, but rather self-described, quote, core principles, end quote, such as personal responsibility, family, and truth. As a result, Ms. Badenoch has a largely blank slate on which to work. She remains mostly unfamiliar to the electorate. Polling by YouGov in the run-up to the leadership vote found that 43% of Britons simply didn't know how they felt about her. Ms. Badenoch may be, quote, straight-talking, end quote, but her impact on the electorate will still depend on the issues and policies she chooses to champion, says Ben Worthy, a lecturer in politics at Birkbeck College, University of London. While Ms. Badenoch has built her reputation on, quote, anti-woke, end quote, issues, topics such as trans rights have little traction with voters, he says. Quote, it could be that she's going to be straight talking on immigration. There is a segment of voters who are very interested in immigration. But most of these voters are already conservatives, says Dr. Worthy. To win back voters, Ms. Badenoch will need to both diagnose and remedy what led the conservatives to implode at the last general election. Polling shows that two events in particular damaged the Conservative Party's reputation, says Dr. Worthy. The Partygate scandal, when then Prime Minister Boris Johnson held a Downing Street Christmas get-together in violation of COVID-19 pandemic restrictions, and the tenure of Liz Truss, a prime minister best known for unpopular economic policies and being compared to a lettuce. Quote, it's a mixture of immorality and incompetence, says Dr. Worthy. Her strong moral stances may position Ms. Badenoch well to tackle at least some of these problems. But the road ahead is likely to be long, with just 121 members of Parliament, compared with 411 from the ruling Labour Party. The Conservative Party is extremely unlikely to be able to reverse its fortunes in a single term. Under these circumstances, consistency will be key, rather than simple answers or even fiery rhetoric. Ms. Badenoch must be able to unite rather than divide in a British political scene that is still fractured and unstable. The Conservative Party itself has burned through six leaders in less than a decade. For now, it is a challenge that Ms. Badenoch's supporters believe she is more than capable of meeting. Quote, "If you try and be all things to all people, it might work for a short period of time," says Mr. Lyon. Quote, "But people will end up treating you with contempt because you'll be neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm and good for nothing." End quote. Classified military documents leaker Jack Teixeira, sentenced to 15 years in prison after pleading guilty to the most consequential national security breach in years. Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira faces 15 years in prison. He leaked secret reports of the war in Ukraine on the social media platform Discord. Written by Michael Casey from Associated Press in Boston. A federal judge sentenced a Massachusetts Air National Guard member to 15 years in prison November 12th for leaking classified military documents about the war in Ukraine. Actions prosecutors said put the country's national security at risk, endangered other military members, and damaged United States relationships with its allies. Jack Teixeira had pleaded guilty in March to six counts of willful retention and transmission of national defense information under the Espionage Act, nearly a year after his arrest in the most consequential national security breach in years. Wearing an orange jumpsuit in court, he showed no reaction as he was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani. Quote, "Today, Mr. Teixeira has paid a very heavy price for laws he broke, for the incredible damage that he caused," end quote, Acting Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Josh Levy said afterward. Quote, "This significant sentence sends a powerful message to every individual who holds a top secret clearance. Anyone who willfully threatens our national security by illegally disseminating classified information will face very serious repercussions," end quote. Jody Cohen, special agent in charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Boston Division, told reporters the sentence held Mr. Teixeira accountable for, quote, "being one of the most prolific leakers of classified information in American history. This former Air National Guardsman grossly betrayed our country and the oath he took to safeguard its secrets in order to boost his ego and impress his friends," Mr. Cohen said. Quote, "This was not a victimless crime. The exceptionally grave damage he caused will impact our national security for decades to come," end quote. The leaks exposed to the world unvarnished secret assessments of Russia's war in Ukraine, including information about troop movements in Ukraine and the provision of supplies and equipment to Ukrainian troops. Mr. Teixeira also admitted posting information about a U.S. adversary's plans to harm U.S. forces serving overseas. Outside court, Mr. Teixeira's attorney, Michael Bachrach, called it a, quote, very difficult day, end quote, for his client, and said Ms. Talwani imposed a, quote, very severe punishment, end quote. Still, he said, it was better than taking the case to trial, where Mr. Teixeira would have faced 30 years to life behind bars. Quote, it's a significant sentence that will deter others, Mr. Bachrach said. Quote, but it's also one that will allow him to self-reflect and grow, and we fully expect that he will be doing so, end quote. Before he was sentenced, Mr. Teixeira showed little emotion as he stood in court and apologized for his actions. The 22-year-old had previously admitted he illegally collected some of the nation's most sensitive secrets and shared them with other users on the social media platform Discord. Quote, I wanted to say I'm sorry for all the harm that I brought and caused, Mr. Teixeira said. Quote, I understand all the responsibility and consequences fall upon my shoulders alone and accept whatever that will bring, end quote. Afterward, Mr. Teixeira hugged one of his attorneys, looked toward his family, and smiled before being led from court. His family left without commenting to reporters. But his mother and others did submit letters to the court seeking leniency. Quote, I know Jack deeply regrets his actions and is ready to accept his punishment for his part in this situation, end quote, his mother Dawn Dufault wrote. Quote, while I understand the severity of his charges and the importance of ensuring justice, I implore you, Your Honor, to consider Jack's true nature and his unique challenges, as I have observed over the years, end quote. The security breach raised alarm over the country's ability to protect its most closely guarded secrets and forced the Biden administration to scramble to try to contain the diplomatic and military fallout. The leaks also embarrassed the Pentagon, which tightened controls to safeguard classified information and disciplined members found to have intentionally failed to take required action about Mr. Teixeira's suspicious behavior. Earlier in the court, Assistant U.S. Attorney Jared Dolan told Ms. Talwani that 200 months, like more than 16 and a half years, was appropriate given the, quote, historic, end quote, damage from Mr. Teixeira's breach in aiding America's adversaries and hurting its allies. He also said such a sentence would send a message to anyone in the military who might consider similar conduct. Quote, it will be a cautionary tale for the men and women in the U.S. military, Mr. Dolan said. Quote, they are going to be told, this is what happens if you break your promise, if you betray your country, dot, dot, dot. They will know the defendant's name. They will know the sentence the court imposes, end quote. But Mr. Bachrach told the judge November 12th that 11 years was sufficient and would amount to half of the 22-year-old's life. Quote, it is a significant, harsh, and difficult sentence, one that will not be easy to serve, Mr. Bachrach said, adding that Ms. Talwani should consider that his client was diagnosed with autism. Defense attorneys had described Mr. Teixeira as an autistic, isolated individual who spent most of his time online, especially with his Discord community. They said his actions, though criminal, were never meant to, quote, harm the United States, end quote, and he had no prior criminal record. Quote, instead, his intent was to educate his friends about world events to make certain they were not misled by information, they wrote. Quote, to Jack, the Ukraine war was his generation's World War II or Iraq, and he needed someone to share the experience with, end quote. prosecutors countered in court filings that Mr. Teixeira did not suffer from any intellectual disability and understood what he was doing was wrong. They wrote that his post-arrest diagnosis of, quote, mild, high-functioning, end quote, autism was of, quote, questionable relevance, end quote, to the proceedings. Mr. Teixeira of North Dighton, Massachusetts, was part of the 102nd Intelligence Wing at Otis Air National Guard Base in Massachusetts. He worked as a cyber transport systems specialist, which is essentially an information technology specialist responsible for military communications networks. He remains in the Air National Guard in an unpaid status, an Air Force official said. Authorities said he first typed out classified documents he assessed and then began sharing photographs of files that bore secret and top secret markings. Prosecutors also said he tried to cover his tracks before his arrest, and authorities found a smashed tablet, laptop, and an Xbox gaming console in a dumpster at his house. Abandoned ghost gear kills sea life. A Myanmar nonprofit is turning the tide. Written by Anne Pinto Rodriguez, who's a contributor in Amsterdam. Thanda Kogi came across a horrific sight in 2016 while diving in the waters off southern Myanmar. Many bamboo sharks and other marine animals lay dead or trapped alive in an abandoned fishing net. When she returned to the site 10 months later, the net hadn't moved, as part of it was entwined in some coral on the seafloor. Quote, it was hanging like a curtain, and it was still killing, Ms. Thanda recounts in a phone call from Yangon, Myanmar's largest city. At that moment, she vowed that she would do something about, quote, ghost gear, end quote, nets, traps, ropes, lines, and other fishing devices that are left behind by humans and indiscriminately kill marine life. Ms. Thanda, whose undergraduate education was in architecture, had learned to dive as a university student in Australia. The abandoned gear that she discovered off southern Myanmar shocked her, but she says the suggestions she made to organizations and leaders in the country to combat the problem weren't taken seriously because of her gender and her lack of formal training in marine conservation. So, in 2018, Ms. Thanda launched her own nonprofit, Myanmar Ocean Project, or MOP, M-O-P, the country's first registered marine conservation organization. Devastated but undeterred, for the next couple of years, Ms. Thanda led a team of international diving volunteers in removing nearly 2 tons of ghost gear from about 100 sites in the Mayak Archipelago in southern Myanmar. Quote, prior to Thanda's work, very few people had any idea of the extent of the ghost gear issue in Myanmar, says Joel Bazouk, associate director of the Global Ghost Gear Initiative, which has helped MOP seek funding. Quote, Thanda's work has drawn attention to an area and an ecosystem that was thought to be more or less pristine. But under the surface lurks a huge amount of lost and abandoned fishing gear. End quote. Based on the MOP team's observations, Ms. Thanda wrote and published online in August 2020 what Mr. Bazouk says is the first status report on Myanmar's ghost gear problem. But the COVID-19 pandemic, raging at that time, brought MOP's ghost gear retrieval efforts to a halt. The 2021 military coup came not long after, shaking the nation and creating more challenges for MOP. Quote, with the coup and COVID combined, Things were really chaotic, Ms. Thonda says. Quote, I still remember the devastation I felt. I had planned so much. End quote. Undeterred, she pivoted to other projects. In the first half of 2021, she conducted research on the shark and ray trade in Rakhine, a western state racked by long-running violence. While interviewing fishers who were displaced and living in camps in Rakhine, she found that endangered sharks and rays were being processed for export to China. Quote, you cannot go into these communities and ask people to stop, Ms. Thonda says. Quote, what are these people supposed to do when they haven't been allowed to leave the camp for 10 years? Dot, dot, dot. I came into this thinking I'm saving species, but in reality, the context is so complicated. End quote. Ms. Thonda's research helped her identify marine areas in Myanmar in urgent need of protection to conserve sharks and rays. Wartime hurdles. Domestic travel has been difficult since the coup, especially for men under age 30. Ms. Thonda's male associates have had to avoid road travel to certain areas, and their phones and belongings have been searched by military personnel. Quote, you have to build a level of tolerance if you want to keep working, Ms. Thonda says. Soon after the coup, she observed that local activists were creating comics, posters, leaflets, and other art to raise awareness about various social and political issues. Inspired by the positive reception to this art, she developed a comic series to discuss marine conservation topics with people in local communities, especially rural ones that lack educational resources. Quote, a comic book made it safe to engage with young people, Ms. Thonda says. Quote, safe for the people engaging with it, safe for the funders, and safe for myself. End quote. Published online in 2022, the comic series, quote, Our Ocean, Our Home, end quote, follows protagonist Thazen, a young girl who encounters various marine animals along Myanmar's coast. MOP has since secured permits to print a small number of copies this year for distribution in some village schools. Six comic books in the series have been published on topics ranging from turtles and whale sharks to ghost gear and Lampi Marine National Park, the country's only protected marine area. Each issue is published in English and three other languages. Quote, when we started, the target audience for these comics were kids in coastal communities, Ms. Thonda says. Quote, but now, even kids who live inland, who have never seen the ocean, are enjoying the books. End quote. She is in discussion with potential partners to print more copies and to organize activities around the books to get more children engaged. In future issues, she hopes to cover topics such as overfishing and marine plastic pollution. But in these difficult times in Myanmar, even releasing comic books turned out to be an emotionally fraught experience for Ms. Thonda and her team. Quote, pro-democracy activists were being hung on one of the days we were launching a comic online, she recalls. Quote, we didn't want to release the comic that day, but I had to remind myself that a lot of kids need a healthy distraction. End quote. Ms. Thonda has also been working on creating a drop-off pontoon in Lampi Marine National Park, where fishers can deposit any abandoned or lost nets they find. MOP recently built a sturdy pontoon that is meant to last at least a couple of years. At present, she is trying to find the best way to recycle the collected nets. Because of sanctions against entities and individuals linked to the junta, Many international funding bodies have been reluctant to finance projects in Myanmar. Ms. Thonda is now focused on raising money from within the country. Quote, Myanmar has very little marine conservation work being done, says Tara Sayuri-Witty, a California-based socio-ecological researcher who has worked in Myanmar for several years. Quote, any good work helps fill this large gap, end quote. Mr. Bazoug says that doing such work, quote, in remote areas of Myanmar, often with very little in the way of resources and in the face of political upheaval, is quite something, end quote. Much of the success of Ms. Thonda's efforts depends on the security situation. Quote, I've been pushing so hard, sometimes I need to remember that I'm living through war, she says. A ride for freedom in China. Masses of young people taking lengthy bike rides at night express both joy and liberty in public spaces. The ruling party wants them to backpedal. Written by the Monitor's editorial board. When young people in America are disgruntled with their economic prospects, they can vote against the ruling party. In the November 5th election, for example, men under 30 years old opted against incumbent Democrats. Yet in China, where elections are nil, what do unhappy youth do? They ride bikes at night, en masse. On November 8th, more than 100,000 university students, many with grim hopes of finding a job, pedaled more than 30 miles from Zhengzhou in central China to the historic city of Kaifeng. The nocturnal spin, mostly on rental bikes, was for the joy of it. At first, the Chinese Communist Party praised the spontaneous swarm of bright-eyed bicyclists. Kaifeng is known for its soup dumplings, its ancient temples, and a theme park. Tourists are welcomed. Yet many of the riders were also glad to be part of a mass movement that expressed their values. Quote, young people in mainland China are very eager to take part in public life. Zhengzhou-based teacher Li Na told Radio Free Asia. They are also well-connected through social media. In the days that followed, young people in other Chinese cities began to copy this exuberant expression of freedom by taking nighttime rides together. The ruling party's security forces quickly put an end to all the fun. Any large gathering outside the party's control, especially among youth, is seen as a threat. In 1989, the Tiananmen Square pro-democracy protests were led by students. Many had biked to the Beijing Square. Today's young Chinese people know the limits of staging protests driven by fear or anger, even if they are experiencing record high unemployment. Instead, their public expressions are often affirming, even joyful. Quote, I want to be a normal person in an abnormal society, one woman told China expert Ian Johnson in a book last year about the country's unofficial historians. Quote, I want to be able to say truthful things and express what's in my heart, end quote. The real foes of the Communist Party, writes Mr. Johnson, are, quote, the lasting values of Chinese civilization, end quote, such as righteousness and freedom of thought. Quote, as strong as the party is it stronger than these deep reservoirs of resilience? He asks. Independent thought lives in China, he states, and has not been crushed. When China's leader Xi Jinping said, after taking power in 2012, that young people should dream big, he probably did not imagine they would take night rides by the tens of thousands. One of the riders to Kaifeng, Xia Tiang, told the Australian Broadcasting Corp, quote, I've been feeling a bit down and anxious lately, and when I saw a night cycling event, it looked so spirited and free, I decided to tell my friend and join in and unwind. Everyone was so polite, cheering each other, and even people at the intersections were giving us encouragement. End quote. The peddlers and their supporters were living democracy, even if they don't live in one. And on the Christian Science Perspective page, Loving Our True Self, we're all innately capable of seeing ourselves the way God, divine love, created us, which empowers us to love ourselves and our neighbors in ways that heal and bless. Written by Larissa Snorick. We often hear that it is important to love yourself, that to love others we first must love ourselves. But what does that mean? Most world religions teach that we should, quote, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you, end quote. From Matthew 7, line 12, from New Living Translation. Christian churches call this the golden rule that Christ Jesus taught. He also taught, quote, love your neighbor as yourself, end quote, and said this was the second of two great commandments. The first and greatest is, quote, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, end quote. From Matthew 22, lines 37 to 39, in the New Living Translation. In the context of these biblical commandments, loving ourselves means much more than just feeling good about who we are. And it doesn't mean we're being selfish. It's a divine demand to understand and love our true selfhood as we grow in our understanding of and love for God. The Bible's book of 1 John states, quote, God is love, end quote, from chapter 4, 16. And the Christian Science textbook expands on this, quote, God is love. More than this, we cannot ask. Higher, we cannot look. Farther, we cannot go. End quote. Written by Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 6. To love ourselves is to know our true individuality as the expression of God, infinite spirit, to know our true spiritual nature. When we love ourselves in this way, we naturally feel close to God. We find ourselves more receptive to the care and love God has for us. There are three aspects to these two great commandments: love for God, love for our neighbor, and love for ourselves. Together, they are like a three-legged stool. Our love stands secure when it is grounded on all three legs. As we love God more, quote, we love him because he first loved us, end quote. 1 John 4, line 19. And we find we can naturally love both others and ourselves more. As our love for God is increasingly expressed in love for others, we lose any sense that such love could be burdensome or selective, because it is rooted in God, infinite love. We may not like everyone we meet, but we can love them by seeing them as God sees them. And the same goes for loving ourselves. For example, we may not like that we get impatient too often. But as we are receptive to God's love for us, a human sense of our identity as an impatient mortal yields to the divine, perfect, and patient creation of God that we each truly are. This takes loving to a higher level than finite personal love. It also keeps us from thinking we will love ourselves more, quote, when, end quote, when we lose weight, when we find a different job, when we find someone to marry, etc. The better we understand God, the better we see our true self, not in terms of human personality traits, but as the offspring of God. We can never be separate from God, good, and can realize our completeness as a divine idea of the infinite divine mind, God. Science and Health states, referring to the true identity of each of us, quote, man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, ... End quote, page 475. As we know God better, we see our identity more in terms of spiritual, God-derived qualities, such as unselfishness, joy, confidence, and equanimity. Our human history of faults and unlovely traits may seem a temporary roadblock to loving ourselves, but it can't keep us from experiencing love. Christian Science explains mortal characteristics, such as fear, doubt, self-condemnation, and human will as counterfeits of our spiritual identity as love's image. Because God cannot create something unlike divinity, these kinds of traits begin to lose their hold on us as we correct them, and this results in healing. After I'd been praying along these lines for some time, a health problem I'd been struggling with for a few years suddenly yielded. I also lost quite a bit of excess weight that was related to the problem without specifically changing the way I ate or my level of activity. What shifted was the depth of knowing that as we love ourselves, we know we are the ever-shining idea of infinite love, reflecting unselfishness, goodness, and innocence. Knowing this helps us have greater love and compassion for others that overflows to the world. Because God loves all of us limitlessly and permanently, we always have a basis from which to love, and this blesses not only those in our experience and beyond, but us too. Most of the world wants action on climate change. Here's What's Going Right, written by Erica Page, who is a staff writer. The U.S. is adding a record amount of clean energy capacity. Developers built 20.2 gigawatts of electricity generation capacity in the first half of 2024, up 21% from the same period last year. Solar led the way at 59% of new additions, followed by battery storage at 21%, wind at 12%, nuclear at 5%, and fossil gas at 2%. Developers were scheduled to double the pace in the second half of 2024. The total added capacity is about what's needed to offset a 1% carbon emissions increase from the power sector this year. Sources are from Canary Media, U.S. Energy Information Administration. Uruguay is generating electricity using more than 90% renewable energy. Without fossil fuel reserves of its own, Uruguay relied on hydropower until droughts in the early 2000s forced the government to begin importing more oil. After political consensus was achieved in 2008 for a comprehensive new plan, Uruguay's transition took less than a decade. Wind has grown to make up 40% of the energy mix, while solar produces 4% and represents the most potential for growth. The transition has created 50,000 jobs, or 3% of Uruguay's labor force. The sources are from Earth.org, World Resources Institute, Energy and Climate Partnership of the Americas, and NPR. Britain became the first major economy to stop using coal for electricity. The backbone of the Industrial Revolution, coal powered the UK for 142 years. The last coal-fired plant, the Ratcliffe-on-Soar Power Plant Station, closed September 30th. Half a century ago, close to 90% of the UK's electricity came from coal, known as the dirtiest fossil fuel. Britain is the largest nation to phase out coal by relying heavily on wind and solar, which supply over half of its electricity. Coal is still used for steel manufacturing. Sources are from CNN and Client Earth. Thank you for joining us for the Christian Science Monitor, read by Melissa Bonnet.
The content featured in this recording may not reflect the views of AfterSight or the presenter. For questions, concerns, or editorial feedback regarding the Christian Science Monitor, please contact them directly at customerservice@csmonitor.com or call 617-450-2300 Monday through Friday.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.